Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we are live today from the Jefferson L Training Complex inside a beautiful Forest River RV by Camping World, Jefferson L Champions of Care, and the official health system partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, the perfect song to play us in here is Friday night, Hugh, was Chase Utley night at Citizens Bank Park. Now, rain delay made everyone have to wait for the speech. And I'll tell you, when I was waiting for it, I knew there was a delay, and I turn it on, and I'm like, all right. You know, I'm excited to hear what Chase has to say, but I didn't expect a long speech. I didn't expect, you know, he was usually a man of few words, right? He wasn't someone who talked a lot or liked, you know, it seemed like that was his thing. So if you had told me beforehand that there would be a 25-minute speech, I would have said, there is no way.
Man, Chase talked for 25 minutes?
Yeah, he did, and it was great. It was one of the better, you know, kind of special night, Hall of Fame induction kind of speeches I've heard in a long time. Let's hear some of it. Chase Utley on Friday night talking about playing here in Philadelphia.
You don't really just play in Philly. You survive it. You earn it. And if you're lucky, you grow from it. To me, this city is about passion. It's about emotion. It's about toughness. But most of all, it's about winning. For 13 years, I tried to play the game that this city expects us to play. Hard, honest, no shortcuts, no excuses. And you let me know every night whether I was doing my job. That's what I love most about this city. Because in Philadelphia, you don't get respect. You have to earn respect. And standing here tonight, knowing I may have earned a small piece of that respect from you, that means more than me. That means more to me than everything.
That was great. I mean, he's not lying though, man. And that's part of it. It's one of those things where, you know, just because you get drafted here and people love you initially, you got to play. You got to play hard, man.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And you know, I know some people, they get a little upset when I say Malachi, you know. But that's kind of a part of it. And I know that people also get upset when they don't understand the dynamic of a locker room. But you got to understand the dynamic of the city, too. Because he's brought in, he's tasked to pick up, whether it's fair or not, where A.J. Brown left off. You know, just as an aside. But that's what this city's all about, man. I mean, just like when I, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about Jalen and you know, the pressure Mannion's going to be under and all this other stuff. The people are going to ride for Jalen because Jalen's won. Jalen's a winner.
Well, he has pellets on the wall here.
Yes.
And and when
pellets
Chase said
on the wall
that,
is a good one.
I mean, think about it like this. You got traded here. You weren't drafted here. And you had done some stuff in the NFL, right? You were Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I was younger then. But, like, I just imagine the fan then when you got traded here. You had to earn their respect.
Oh, no question.
Right? Wasn't Hugh Douglas is good because he was good with the Jets?
He was a Jet. Yeah. It didn't matter what I did with the Jets.
Right. And then within a couple of years, you earned everyone's respect here.
Yeah. And that's what it's about, man. It's about and you feel that. You feel that, and I'm pretty sure Chase feels it to this day. You know, the only thing that I hate that we didn't do is get a championship here, but you feel the respect and the adulation on a daily basis. It's funny, right? Because I was the Eagles legend today, right? And it was a bunch of kids from MLK, the football team, right? And, you know, you – like, I've never been the type that gets upset because nobody knows who I am, because I know I played in the era where, you know, it was a while ago.
Sure.
So it was funny because some of the kids like, who is that? And it's like, that's Hugh Douglas. He played and they kind of went down, you know, the resume and everything. I mean, and that's Philadelphia in a nutshell. You're never forgotten because you're always spoken – with adulation. People speak about your adulation, man, and they talk about the things that you've accomplished and what you meant to the team and things of that nature. And I just thought it was pretty cool. And even though the picture was up and the name was on the front plate, somebody still called me Hollis.
I'd like to think it's on purpose at this point.
No, it wasn't, Joe, because he said, this is what he said. He said, hey, didn't you hang out in London with us?
Again? What did Hollis do in London that everyone wants to talk about?
Whatever Hollis did.
I don't want to know.
No, listen.
I don't want to know.
Whatever Hollis did in London, it must have been epic. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm not going to come. Whatever you and Hollis did in London, I'm not going to come close to doing it.
I don't know. We get to be there for quite a few days.
We're going
to
be there for a few days, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be.
Pubs stay open late.
They do, but I plan on being, you know, on my best behavior.
Oh, stop.
I am. I'll be on my best behavior.
It's a different content. I'll probably
be banged up by 9 o'clock.
Well, we know that. All right, let's get to one more from Utley here. How he ended his speech. It was one of the better, you know, Hall of Fame kind of special night speeches I've ever heard. Here's Utley on Friday night.
And now, to have my name forever connected to this organization and this city, that's something I will carry with myself forever. So thank you, Philadelphia, for everything you gave me, and for making me feel like a part of your family. I will always be proud to be a Philadelphia Philly. Thank you.
Awesome.
It felt like he was warming up for maybe next summer in Cooperstown. That speech had feeling to it, like, you know, maybe he was trying to,
you know, that's why he talked so long, because he said, hey, man, you know, it'd probably do yourself a huge favor if you give the people what they want.
Yeah, and he did. I thought it was awesome. One last one from Utley. They did a little press conference afterwards before the game started. Let's hear Utley talking here about the fans and kind of the connection he always had with them and what he feels.
You know, it's been about a decade since you played here, a handful of years or so since your major league career came to a close. Has it hit home with you just how popular you are in this town and how much this town adores you?
And I mean, I adore this town. I mean, we had such amazing moments over the years, and we created so many memories together. Obviously, winning the World Series, number one. But other than that, we had so many great times together. And I appreciate their support. They supported me essentially from day one. I definitely had to earn their respect, and I felt like I did a pretty good job at that. So, yeah, I'm as much obsessed with the fans as they seem to be with me.
Very cool night on Friday for Chase Utley. And you could tell, Hugh, people were there for that because the game, there was a delay, right? Then they had the
and they hung out.
And then, but then the game was pretty late, like because of the delay and the ceremony. By the time we got to late in the game, and the Phillies, you know, it was up and down game for them. People kind of started to clear out, which I wasn't surprised when it was like 11:15 and I'm falling asleep in my couch. So I'm like, yeah, people were there for Chase Utley. The game itself and Alec Bohm's nonsense, not so much. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phone lines. Your chance to react to all this. I want to pull the plug on Bohm. Pressure on Mannion. I don't really feel there's much pressure on him this season. First year as an offensive coordinator, they get rid of A.J. Brown. It's a brand-new system. I think he gets a year to kind of figure it out before the pressure really gets ratcheted up on him. Hugh disagrees, thinks there's a good amount of pressure on him. And, of course, Lane Johnson announcing this is likely his final year in the NFL. I think if the Eagles knew then on draft night that what we found out the other day, I don't think they draft Mekhi Lemon. I think they trade up for an offensive tackle. And we have a prize today. Pair of tickets, Eagles Open Practice, August 25th. Give us a great what if. Could be sports, could be non-sports. Something that makes you go, what if. Jay in West Philly is up on WIP. Good afternoon, Jay.
Hey, so, you.
Jay.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hugh.
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, Hugh, now by nature of the job, right, wouldn't Sean Mannion be under more pressure? Because each offensive coordinator...
I would think so.
That's just common sense, right?
I mean,
yeah, it's common sense.
I mean, that's the way I see it. You know, Joe doesn't see it the same way.
and we know that Lurie, we know he's a big fan of Jalen Hurts, right?
Big old fan.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the owner speak, people listen. So just by making common sense, that just let me know. What's bad about it?
Oh, I said, well, that's that. I mean, your point was made. You're right. I guess that's it.
Exactly.
That's all. Lurie likes Jalen, so that's all. Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Look, that's what the owner said. The owner said.
That's right.
Goes,
yep.
So.
That means he's our QB for the next 5 years. Out. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take his track record over the next 5 years. Another two Super Bowls. You should take that?
Probably, yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, probably. You would or you wouldn't?
I don't know.
You'll take another October. It'll take another October. Them bombs stinking, won't you?
No.
You'll do that, won't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it should, a lot of people's jobs should be on the line over there.
Yep.
Hugh, how are you looking out there in practice, Hugh?
You know what? He was on, Jay, he's on the other side of the field. Didn't get a chance to see him today. We got to wait for Ellie to come in and give us a play-by-play. I saw Ashlyn. She was here. Didn't get a chance to talk to her, though. But I'm hoping today, I hope he did pretty good today. It don't feel like it was a bad practice for him, you know, but I didn't see it because it was on the other side of the field.
Oh, Okay, but he getting better. Last I heard, last couple of Elliott reports I heard, you know, eyewitness recounts that he's getting better. And he said that's the least of his worries in his offense.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear Elliott say, as far as who's having a really good camp, he said Jalen's head and shoulders. You know, he's that dude. Oh, right?
Okay. I heard he just got picked off by Quinion over the middle, though.
Okay, it happens. It's, you know, it's practice. What are you going to do? Are we good, Jay? We got anything else? Anything
fine,
else?
Yeah, I got a what if.
What do you got?
What if Spike never hired you?
Wait a minute. Wow.
Well, your life wouldn't be as good, Jay. You participate in the show all the time.
He said that.
Well, actually, Spike. Well, to be honest, Spike did not.
It'd be better for everybody.
I mean, well, actually, if we're being,
no.
I mean, I let you talk, and then you answer my question, and you said that Spike actually did not hire me at WIP. Now he was here as I got elevated and moved up, but he did not hire me. Spike was actually, I believe,
he's in New York still, wasn't he?
Well, no. He was our web guy here, and he was a part-time host when I first started. So we were both just hosts the way we're both just hosts now. And then Spike elevated.
And Spike blew up.
Yep, and his role changed. But he did not hire me, Jay. So it's actually not a great what-if because it's not accurate.
We did just get our training camp trade from Elliott.
What do we got?
For Hurts.
What do you got?
C-minus.
C-minus today, Jay.
Step backwards.
Uh-oh. Not a great day then.
Well, Lori said he likes him, though, so never mind.
Spike said he hired you.
Well, he didn't. I mean,
Spike said he hired you.
Well, he didn't. I mean, he gave me a promotion.
So he lied? Spike.
Well, I think maybe he misremembers.
He misremembers.
He gave me a promotion, that was back in 2017.
He he's responsible for you then.
Well, partially, sure. Yeah,
he's responsible for you being here.
Partially, but he did not hire me. Not accurate. We try to be accurate on this show. He didn't hire me. He wasn't in charge of hiring.
That goes out the window when you bring Jay.
Wasn't in charge of hiring when I first started WIP. That's the reality of it.
Would you be unselfish like the rest of the Phillies? Would you move around?
Absolutely. Of course I would.
Can we get you to overnight sometimes?
Here's the thing. See, if WIP asks,
I am a team player.
See, that's the difference. Guess what? They've only asked me to move up, not backwards, Jay. They've never asked me to move backwards. Okay, they've asked me to move up, Jay. So I do what they say. No, it wasn't.
It was spiteful.
It wasn't. Well, Lakin's different. Lakin put me to the midday.
Oh, no, Lakin's different.
And Lakin blessed me with the opportunity to talk to Jay in West Philly. How enriching my life is having to have this conversation.
Talk to him, Jay.
I try.
You've enriched his life.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Hugh's on Jay's side.
I agree.
Well, no, I root for chaos.
Well, Jay is, I got to tell
Jay,
you.
Jay is the chaos agent.
Be honest. That's when you and Jay just talk, it's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring.
No, me and Jay. Because
you don't check him on his nonsense.
Yeah, no, you don't. You're way too lazy.
What do you mean?
It's because he butters you up by talking to you first. No, it's a good strategy by Jay, and he's got you by the cojones.
He left out a lot of context to the Mannion Hurts thing. Jalen needs a contract, right? So the pressure on him is if they're going to pay him or not.
If we're being fair and balanced, I answer the questions Jay asks. If he doesn't add a lot of nuance to the question,
but Hugh,
then I just answer the question.
They're setup questions. You got to be able to sniff those out. You got to sniff out the setups. Nope.
But I answer them. I just think it's funny.
You need to be meaner to people.
You know what? Yeah. It's just funny because Joe gets a little – you know, Joe does his best not to get irritated, but I can tell it's a little irritating call.
Well, here's where I'm at. I got mad last week. We're off that –
You're trying to pull it back.
Well, because he's not even worth it. I mean, like –
You know my uncle used to tell me in situations like this, he said to anger you is to conquer you.
Right, and so – I'm not going to.
Jay conquered you last week.
He got me. I got upset.
He got conquered.
But no better.
But you know what? But sometimes, and I believe this, sometimes people need to be told they're dope.
He said he definitely conquered you.
He got. Listen, I got upset and I got a little out of character. But I think there's too many people that walk around that no one tells them they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and now you make it your business.
Well, it's the figurative version of you say people need to get slapped across the lips. Sometimes people need a verbal slap across the lips. Just once in a while to be told you don't know what you're talking about. Just to keep people in check. And Jay needed it last week. We'll get LA coming up at 12:30 with the full report on Jalen. Aaron in San Diego up on WIP. Aaron.
You know, it is refreshing to not have to listen to the Hobbit from Middletown or the stewardess from New Jersey and listen to the likes of Glenn from Florida you know, Mark from Delaware, and then my main man, Mario. I mean, how lucky are we to have such great new callers calling in on a daily basis? And I challenge everybody out there, everybody that's waiting on hold, everybody that's going to call the midday show today, when they pick up the phone and they call on you, give your best rendition of "Good Morning, Philadelphia," and let's make a whole week of it. How about that?
That feels like a lot, but
get the hell out of here.
I'm still stuck on The Hobbit, though. That is crazy.
Well, he also picked out all the callers on Friday that said they were Aaron and San Diego fans. You notice that?
Yeah, he did lose the poll pretty significantly.
Oh, well, that's not surprising. Go ahead, Aaron.
As long as the supporters are edging up a little bit, because this time last year, I probably would have gotten 5% of the vote. But, you know, to have like 30-something or 40-something percent of the vote, I'm proud of that.
You have to
have something to build on. But, hey, listen, the Phillies, the answer to the question, it's super simple. You want to turn the Philadelphia Phillies into a World Series contender, you got to get rid of the dead weight. Get rid of the Bryce Harpers. Get rid of the Kyle Schwarbers. Get rid of the Trey Turners. Get rid of the JT Realmutos. Get rid of the Alex Bohm.
They're the whole team.
Listen, I'm not done, Joe Giglio. Let me finish my sentence.
Let him cook.
You got to bring winners in here like Jalen Hurts, like Devontae Smith, like Lane Johnson, like Quinyon Mitchell. We need winners on this Philadelphia team because right now the starting pitching is not good enough. Right now the bullpen is not good enough. Right now the hitting is not consistent enough where we can count on them come playoff time. We've got to make drastic changes. Unfortunately, it's time to rebuild the Philadelphia Phillies.
Aaron, the trade deadline has passed. They're in a playoff race. This is the team. This is the team for this season. We can't change any of these
things. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Enjoy the regular season. Enjoy the Chase Utley moments. Enjoy all the little things that come with watching a baseball game. Because come playoff time, we ain't got a chance in hell, my friend. Right. We ain't got a chance.
Aren't you a breath of fresh air?
Yeah, I gotta be a little more optimistic. Yeah.
Joe, I do have a what if too.
What do you got?
And I have real quick. Let me talk about Lane Johnson because.
Sure.
You know, a lot of NFL teams, you know, they have a history of running backs, a history of quarterbacks, a history of wide receivers. For the Philadelphia Eagles, we have been so fortunate and so lucky to have the likes of Trey Thomas, John Runyon, you know, Barrett Brooks, you know, Jason Kelsey, you know, and just the list goes on and on. And then Lane Johnson, you know, just a guy that's been a stalwart, you know, a cornerstone for this Philadelphia Eagles team. You know, getting old sucks, man. And I can't, you know, watching him coming in where everybody was so set on that defensive lineman, thank God for the Miami Dolphins that they took him. And we got the former tight end that transferred, turned into a tackle. And, man, he has just been so much fun to watch. And Lane Johnson, I know you're not listening, but, my friend, thank you so much for the memories. Now for my what if, Joe Giglio.
What do you got?
What if the midday show was featured with Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, and one Aaron in San Diego?
Hugh, what do you think of that one?
Nah.
That's a no from Hugh Douglas. I mean,
I like you, Aaron, but nah.
I will tell you this, and Aaron appreciates the phone call.
Too many.
Kyle
too many
was out that day, but Aaron was in studio with us a couple weeks ago because he was
What a great day to be off.
Well, yeah, I know you planned that. He was actually way more tolerable in person. We brought him on the air. We let him do his phone call, like, with us in front of a microphone. He was way, but now every day, every segment, no.
You know, that'd be a lot.
I'm curious, one of the things Aaron said there. He kind of alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
The last 25, 26 years of Eagles football. Like, if you had to say the thing they are most, the biggest reason.
Tackle.
I'd say offensive line.
Tackle.
Like, the offensive line to me is the biggest common denominator of all. Now, Hugh, defensive line, and you were part of that, is probably second.
Because
there's been a lot of different quarterbacks, right? It's a bunch of good ones.
Building the trenches, man.
But the trenches, right? And specifically the offensive line. You know, he mentioned the guys that you played with, and then it became Kelsey, and it became
Peters, and it
became Lane.
It started with Trey.
Yep.
And then, you know, Big Red brought in John Runyon. And man, it's been like, you know, you talk about somebody. The thing I remember about John Runyon and Trey, attitude. And, you know, Lane is in that similar boat. It's that nasty they bring to the table, man, and that competitiveness. John was that dude. Like, I say it all the time. John, we got John. John set the tone for everything because he was just a nasty dude. And it's ironic every day.
What his job is now.
What his job is now. And when you talk to John now, it's, you know, because for me, especially for me, like knowing him when he first got here and knowing who he is now, Joe, sometimes I look at him and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm having a civil conversation with this maniac that I knew like 20-something years ago that was just one of the nastiest individuals that I've ever played with. But he was the tone setter, man, and it's funny because now we're talking about, you know, just trying to stay healthy. We're talking about, you know, best recipes for older gentlemen and best ways to work out with your joints not hurting and things of that nature. So it's just amazing how the conversation has shifted.
But, yeah, it's true. The quarterbacks changed. The coaches changed. Yeah. I mean, even Howie wasn't in charge in the beginning. He's been in charge for a long time. The one constant of 25, 26 years of mostly success, I mean, very few down years in this run, it's been amazing this century, has been the offensive line. And that, you know, when you think about the Lane announcement the other day, it kind of hits you that a pillar of that is about to probably play his last season. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls up here. Your what-ifs, best one we hear today. And, I mean, by accident, it'll be better than Jay's because he don't have his facts straight. Best what-if we get today. Wins a pair of tickets to the Eagles open practice on August 25th. Elliot joins us next. His reasoning for the C-minus grade for Jalen today. All your phone calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Oh, no, not the Titanic song, Hugh. Not in August.
Yeah, that's well, yeah, that's
this could
that's
be about Alec Boehm and his supporters, which just I'm blown away that many people out there are not ready to pull the plug on Boehm. I am. And a lot to discuss, of course, from camp about the Philadelphia Eagles. Practice is wrapped up. We're broadcasting back to camp from Jefferson Health Training Complex. It's not a beautiful Forest River RV. By Cam Rino, joining us right now to discuss day 9 of Eagles training camp practice. That will be our guy, Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, how are you doing today?
I mean, Titanic's one of my favorite movies, so I know that was not you don't want to hear that song normally, but it's a beautiful song. Excited to talk to you guys.
Beautiful song.
Well, it is crazy. A beautiful song. Yeah,
it is
what a voice.
Did you tear up a little bit listening to it?
Well, I mean, not this time because I've listened to it so much, but back in the day, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, who didn't? All right, Elliot, let's talk about day 9 of Eagles camp today. Hot out here. They were on the far field from where we are in our tent today. Let's discuss the offense. Jalen Hurts, what did you think today and overall, what is practice?
Yeah, so I thought today was really defined by two periods of practice, both of which were live, like 11-on-11, first team versus first team. And the first one was the offense got the ball at their own 35-yard line, two-minute drill, 59 seconds left on the clock, and they were down 4. So it was really setting up to be a competitive chance for the offense to go down the field against a good defense and end the day on a high note. But the first pass over the middle picked off from Jalen Hurts, picked off by Quinyon Mitchell. Jalen was trying to hit Hollywood Brown. It looked like the ball just dipped on him a little bit more than he wanted it to. Obviously, could have been a miscommunication, but picked off by Quinyon, who then punted the ball. He was so excited about the interception. So a big win for the defense there. And then the offense came back out onto the field in another situation. Down 8, they got the ball 35 yards from the end zone, 52 seconds left, no timeouts. And they did get a little bit something going here. Jalen completed a pass to Darius Cooper, who had an awesome day. Then completed another one to Elijah Moore, another one to Darius Cooper. And they were driving, so with 2 seconds to go on the clock, they were about 11 yards out. And Jalen dropped back. The defense only rushed 2. A lot of controversy on this play because it probably took 10 or 15 seconds for the ball to come out, maybe more like 10. And he eventually did roll to his right and throw it across his body to Elijah Moore for the touchdown. So the defense didn't think it should count. The offense thought it should count. They did get to run the 2-point conversion, and that fell incomplete. So I think the defense pretty clearly won the day, but always some good when you get training camp controversy.
Well, that does make it fun. And obviously the defense felt one way and the offense felt another. Ellie, you mentioned Darius Cooper there. And I feel like every time we've talked to you, or I've heard you on other shows, your morning show, afternoon show, I've heard you talk about him. Elliot, how big of a leap has he taken from last year? Is it noticeable? Is it more opportunity slash a leap? Like, what's the difference between last year, Darius Cooper, who showed something in preseason? And I thought, just watching him in the preseason, like, he had a look about him. Like, he kind of looks like an NFL wide receiver to me.
Yeah.
But then he didn't play that much during the season. But it seems like, from your perspective this year, he's just every day standing out, it seems like.
Yeah, so I think if you just watch training camp practice and you didn't know anything about anybody, you didn't know who was drafted where, who did what last year, and we'll take Devontae out of it because Devontae is clearly the best guy. But if you just watch these guys practice, Elijah Moore, Mekhi Lemon when he's been out there, Dontavian Wicks, I think there's an argument Darius Cooper has been the best out of all of them. And at the absolute worst, he's only behind Dontavian Wicks. Like, I think he's been that good. And what really stands out about him is, A, Jalen trusts him. He has thrown the ball to Darius Cooper in a lot of really tight windows, and he's doing an awesome job coming down with those catches. Nick talked earlier, or I guess late last week, about how tough it is in the NFL to adjust to the speed and the contested catches. Receivers in college are normally used to having more time to come down with the ball, and in the NFL, those windows really shrink. And you can see Darius Cooper in the second year is used to these to the tight window throws and is really, really good. He's got strong hands. Like, he probably has the strongest hands on the team and reminds me of AJ in that way. AJ had really strong hands. So he's having an outstanding camp. He's definitely going to make the team. And I think week one, like, he could be wide receiver two or three.
Well, that's interesting from a lot of perspectives. One of them is obviously if he's out there, it probably means Mekhi Lemon not out there. Now, again, a mispractice from Mekhi Lemon. I'm sure they're being cautious with his hamstring. But, Elliot, I'm curious what you think about this, because I thought about this Saturday as soon as I saw Lane Johnson make his announcement that this is likely his last season. Elliot, if the Eagles had the information that we have now, you know, back on draft night, do you think Mekhi Lemon is the pick at number 20? And that there's a lot of angles to that. In my mind, I'm wondering if they would have traded up even further. Monroe Freeling, the guy out of Georgia, the tackle, was picked one spot before the Eagles traded up for Lemon. If the Eagles knew definitively this was Lane's last year, do you think Mekhi Lemon's an Eagle?
It's a great hypothetical. It's a great what if, actually, as one might say. But I do think that they probably would still take Mekhi Lemon. I know Lane making it somewhat official. Now, he did leave a little wiggle room in there for him. But, you know, Lane making it pretty clear he's going to retire after this year, I can see how it would be asked. But I think they had a pretty good idea of Lane's future. I don't think they were under any illusion that, like, a year 2027 was a likelihood. I don't think they certainly probably didn't think 3 years from now that he would be playing. So I think getting Mekhi was about trying to get a better receiving core with AJ gone. Like, they knew AJ was gone. Lane, you know, they had a decent idea, but at least, you know, he's on the roster this year. So it's a great one. I mean, Caden Proctor is someone they really liked. There was an offensive guard slash tackle out of Arizona State who was, I believe, on the clock when they picked. Maybe went
I think
one
he
pick
was the
before.
Next pick. I think the Steelers took him at 21.
Yeah, exactly. So there were some good options there. I think they probably could have traded up if they wanted to. I think they really liked Mekhi, and they really liked the idea of creating a deep receiving core. So we'll see how that pick, you know, plays out. But, yeah, I still think Mekhi would have been the pick.
What's been your impression of Markelle Bell? Because now, you know, with the way the Eagles approached the draft this past year, Markelle Bell is the most likely heir apparent and the backup right now to Lane Johnson. Lane had some pretty high praise for him Saturday when he spoke after talking about himself. What have you seen out of Markelle Bell? Because, Elliot, he's a name that we could be talking a lot about in the next few years.
Yeah, he kind of, like, fell into an unbelievable situation, right? Now, look, the Eagles' offensive line is not what it used to be. I think 3 years ago, if you would have said you had the chance to replace Lane, you think about Stoutland. You think about Kelsey being on the team. You think about years of Landon and Cam. Like, that's not really the situation anymore. So, you know, it's a good opportunity, though, nonetheless. And I think what helps Markelle Bell is he has an elite physical trait about him. And I think whoever was going to be the Lane replacement, they had to feel like there was an elite physical trait there that could make him top five in the league. And obviously Markelle Bell far away from that right now, but he's probably the tallest Eagles player I've ever covered. He certainly has the longest legs of any Eagles player I've ever covered. So he has a unique skill set and a unique size that you could go, okay, let's see if we can develop him into something special. So obviously won't start this year. He has been taking reps at both the left and right tackle spot, but the majority of right tackle, because obviously Lane has missed some time here. So he'll get that chance. You know, if he's the guy in 2027, you're kind of cutting into his rookie deal a little, so there is that downside to it. But I think Markelle is clearly going to get the first chance, and I think there is certainly a world where he wins the job.
I'm kind of curious, Elliot, who popped for you on the side of the defense today? You know, because we really don't get to talk about them a whole lot because everybody's kind of, you know, focused on the offense and everything. We know the defense is going to be pretty good. But who kind of stood out to you today on that defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, so what's funny about the defense is they win the majority of practices, and it's impressive how they truly do it as a unit. Like, it's not one guy out there making plays. There's not one weak link. But I thought three guys that really stood out today. Obviously, you could start with Quinyon coming down with that interception in a big situational drill. I think some reps just matter more than others at practice, and that one was a big rep. Like, everybody was in it. Everyone was excited. Like, it was so – it mattered that he came out with that interception there. Jalix Hunt, another good day. He lives in the backfield. And then Michael Carter, I thought, had a really nice play. Now, it was against the – I think it was against the second-team offense, but it was a short pass to Eli Stowers, and it might have been Stowers' welcome to the NFL moment because Michael Carter just came up and clocked him over. Like, he went right to the ground. So they had the pads on today. It was a physical practice. And Michael Carter has had a really good camp so far. I feel much, much better about the safety position than I do – I feel much better now than I did coming into camp. So, yeah, I thought Michael Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, and then really pick any defensive lineman, but Jalix Hunt had another good day.
Elliot, let's end with this. It's the yearly tradition. I walked over to the start of the Sirianni press conference before our show today, and I knew the question was coming because it's that week, right? They play their first game Saturday night against the Ravens, first preseason game. So Nick was asked, but a new twist this year, you know, will the players play more? Will some of the starters play? But, Elliot, the twist this year is it's a brand-new offense. You could make the case they could use some reps against a defense that is trying to hit them and trying to play defense against them to whatever extent the Ravens will Saturday. Sirianni, as he usually does, said we'll talk about it. We won't tell you right now. What did you make of the answer, and do you think we could see some of the starters offensively Saturday night?
So I do understand that there's maybe more logic in playing them this year, but I think the Eagles might actually view that the reverse way. The Eagles love to hide information that they don't have to give out. And I think that's smart, right? Like, they don't put out the injury report until the last minute. They won't say who's practicing in the morning, even though practice is in an hour. And when it comes to training, when it comes to preseason games, they don't like to put things on tape. So if you're the Eagles, the one thing you have on week one against Washington is the element of surprise, right? Like, they don't know what you're going to do. There's a new offense being installed. There's a new offensive coordinator. And sure, they can prepare under center, play action. Like, they, you know, you can prepare for that. But I think in the preseason games, if you're unless you're going to go out there and play a half and run your offense and really get work in, I don't think there's much value to it. And I think they'll want to hide what they're doing on offense. So I would not expect to see them on Saturday night.
Yeah, I would. I agree that they're probably not going to do it, but I do think the interesting – at least there's a variable now that's different, which is a brand-new offense, and maybe those guys need reps. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, as always. Hydrate. Have a good rest tonight, and we'll see you out here tomorrow.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks, who, of course, was at training camp practice today. And it was an interesting question to ask you about the defense, because it just seems like every day
– we're talking about the offense.
Well, and it seems like every day the defense is – either winning or holding their own, right? I don't think there's been one practice where people came out and said, wow, the defense got crushed today. Like,
and
some days the offense is kind of – it's been back and forth.
And Vic has been here for a while. Yeah. There's that. And it's basically just you're only getting a couple people up to speed on the defensive side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, everybody getting up to speed. So that's what you're working with right there.
There's just less questions on the defense.
Yeah,
it is encouraging that everyone, including Elliott, has said the safety position has been fine. Because that – you on paper, you look at it, you're like, well, that's the weakest position, right? Like, who's
– yeah.
And now there's going to be more of Cooper at safety than there has been in the past, so that will help make it better. But just bodies they have there, names, Epps and Carter, it's not as decorated as the other spots. Corner, they have stars. Linebacker, they have stars. Up front, they have stars.
Yeah, and that's the one position you look at and be like, if there's a
weakness.
Yeah, it is there.
But it seems like they're playing fine.
Yeah, and you know, if you get hit on the quarterback, it takes a lot of pressure off that secondary.
Well, of course it does. And look, I do think Cooper's going to play there more than maybe we think, just because teams go to more 2 and 3 tight ends now. So that could be a part of why it looks good, too. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to react to with us. Your take on the C-minus day by Jalen Hurts. What'd you think of the way Elliot framed it? Those final two periods there where they're kind of situations.
Look controversial.
Well, they're trying to go down to score. So the first one, Jalen throws the pick to Quinyon. Second one.
Held the ball a little bit too long.
Yeah, so the. How would you grade that if you were playing? Like, because you can't hit the quarterback, right? So,
no, that's a sack.
That's what I was thinking. If he holds the ball for 10 seconds, that doesn't count.
That's a sack because that's the sense of urgency has to be there but you also want to see the play develop so that there's something that you work on. There's a lot. Like the side of the offensive side of the ball, man, most of the practices are scripted for them to have success. So, without actually being out there, I don't know what the end game was. It sounds like they were in live fire drills.
Yeah, well, it seemed like Sirianni was throwing situations at them.
Yeah,
like second and 8,
so you want to see how you fare. So there's probably some work there still with the offense. I mean, it's going to look like that, man. And then you talk about everybody's eyes is on the offensive play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shout out to Elliott for doing what he does. Man, he's just calling it like he sees it. It's not like he's judging the quarterback, anything like that. He's just giving you what he sees at practice on a daily basis.
Well, and it's I think it's great information. I mean,
it is. It's really good.
And what you've kind of seen so far through his eyes and through his reports and the grades is there's ups and downs, right? There's some days it's been good. I think it was last Monday when they were inside. Jalen had his best day. There have been some tougher days. And then the majority of the days were kind of like this, where he comes on and he says B or C, and there's some good, there's some not so good. Let's go to the phone lines here. David in Westchester is up on WIP. David?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh.
Hey,
man.
Answer me just real quick. If you had a choice and you could pick Ruben Amaro or Dave Dombrowski for general manager of the Phillies right now, which one would you take?
Oh, that's a fun one.
I like Rube. I mean, and I know Rube had the job before, and for whatever reason, Rube doesn't have it anymore, but I'm a big Rube fan.
Well, I'll say this. You know, when it was time to try to go win, Ruben did a better job at acquiring the pieces to keep pushing them. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if I was building a team from scratch, Dave's got a better resume. But, you know, David, you think about Ruben in those years where they had to keep going, right? Had to keep adding. He added impactful players right all the time. Halliday, Lee, Pence. It didn't always
afraid,
lead to a World
yeah.
Series. But
he wasn't afraid to go out and get some, yeah. make some moves.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys just answered the same answer that I have. You know, I think Ruben would be so much better for this team right now. But that's not the case in point. So anyway, Alec Boehm, Joe, you are 100% correct. Now, let me ask you this. I read a story last night about five ways that the Phillies could improve their team. And number five, I believe, was just DFA Alec Boehm, bring Bryce Harper back, and then, you know, dump Sosa, pick up some DFA sure stuff from the Braves. Now, did you read that article?
I did not,
to this
no,
point?
No. No, I did, but I did see over the weekend our old buddy Austin Hayes was cut by wherever he was before, and he landed with the Padres. And when I saw him cut or DFA'd, I was like, you know, they could bring him in or bring someone like that. Soler was DFA'd last week, and then dump Alec Boehm, like bring another outfielder in, dump Boehm, and put Bryce back to first base. I mean, they could do something like that, but you know, Hayes was claimed, but before we got back to the air this week.
Yeah, and that was a premise article. So because we're all about honesty on the show, or is that the afternoon? I don't know, but I just want to make sure. Like,
no,
you know,
I didn't see it. I'll read it. Where'd you see it? Who wrote it?
I don't know. That's why.
All right,
I
I'll look at it. Yeah. Like, well, great minds think alike.
Like, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, great minds think alike. All right, David. David, what do you got for us for a great what if?
Okay, I'm going to go. What if Hugh Douglas were on the 05 Super Bowl team, and he ran out there with a barf bag and scooped up McNabb's puke so McNabb can continue and they could actually win the Super Bowl.
All right, Hugh, what do you think?
I was on the squad, and I didn't see him throw up. Like, that was – I remember Hank Fraley
– David, good phone call.
And John Runyon saying that's what happened.
Well, you did say Five did throw up.
I said he threw up, but I didn't see it. Like, that was the story. I didn't
five
see
threw
it.
Up!
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I knew that was coming. Walk right into that one. Yeah, I didn't. That's what I heard.
All right, let me ask you this question. You're on defense in your heyday, and the opposing quarterback throws up. Do you think we got him right where you want him, or he just got sick? Or do you think we got him?
Donovan, like,
it doesn't have to be Donovan. It could have been any quarterback.
I mean, what am I thinking?
Yeah, like, what are you thinking as a defender if you watch the other opposing quarterback throwing up on the field?
It all depends, man, because I remember the first time that I saw him throw up actually was in Jacksonville.
Donovan.
Yes.
So this was a thing.
Well, yeah, Donovan, that wasn't the first time. Right. Like, I saw him, it was hot. And a lot of times, like, I don't know what Donovan's pregame regimen was, but he threw up a lot. It was like he took too much water in, and it kind of – he had to, you know, disperse it. But I – like, and it was hot in Jacksonville that day. It was super hot.
Did that ever happen
to you?
Was
it in Tampa?
Well, I think he threw up in Tampa, too.
Yeah, okay.
So the Florida weather.
Yeah,
Florida's
hot. Florida's beating his ass, man.
Yeah, Florida's hot. But I remember about those moments. Rick Burkholder, when he was the trainer, be like, hey, make sure you hydrate. So maybe five overhydrate. I don't know. But it was not the first time that he did it. But the coolest thing about it was when he threw up, he went right back.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah. It was just like, butt have a yak. And threw up and kept it moving.
Yeah, that was kind of a gross what if by
yeah,
David.
Yeah. And then, you know, you talking about you got your hand between somebody's crotch and you're throwing up on their back. That's not a good look.
That's a lot. It really is. Let's go to Bruce in D.C.
Bruce
on WIP.
Gentlemen. Oh, how's everybody doing today?
Bruce, how you doing, pal?
Man, look, that last caller just kind of stole my what if, but I got another one. So, but before I get into my spiel, hey, Hugh.
Yes.
You know, it's good to hear your unapologetic Hugh on your take on Bryce Harper.
No, I'm just saying, why are you apologizing now?
Because he felt bad.
Right.
Wait a minute, and it was Donovan threw up all three times in Jacksonville, and Tampa scored a touchdown to finish that drive.
So Florida kicked his ass.
Yeah, Florida was hot. Shout out to John Clark for that information. That man be on top of his game right there.
Now you're praising him.
Well, you know, I'm
gives you
like,
information.
But listen, I praise him when he texts. He'll never text me back, but he decided to throw me a bone.
Are you still upset you didn't get invited to the wedding?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely upset.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Damn. Yeah, because that was my thing. If Donovan never threw up, would they have won the Super Bowl? That was mine, but I got another one. But anyway, moving on to we're talking about Mannion. I do agree that he definitely has some pressure. I think there's more pressure on Sirianni and Jalen as far as the success or failure of the team. But I'm really optimistic that they're going to be successful. But Mannion's position, he's going to be here for more than 1 year, no matter what happens. I think if it's anything like it was last year, it wasn't just about coaching. Well, it was to a degree because they underused Tank Bigsby. Jalen made business decisions on not running the ball. It was a bunch of, you know, things that would just went sideways where Sirianni just was unable to fix the problems at a strategic level as a coach. And that's really why I think that he has more to worry about than Mannion. Now, to my other point about Bones, thank mm-hmm. you for saying that, Joe. I really appreciate it. I was already bothered with the fact that he was in the five hole. He should have never been there. You got two other players, Hill and even Stott, that are better to be in that position because of his OPS. He sucks. He's trash. I would not lose any sleep if they even DFA'd him. I am sick and tired of Bone. You know, they have bullpen problems, but Bone has situationally left his team in some bad positions, and he's probably the biggest Achilles heel for the team. So that's my take on both of those.
Bruce, you're spot on, man. I can't handle watching him anymore. And then the tantrums afterwards. I mean, the guy's 30 years old. We got to grow up. All right, Bruce, what do you got? What's a great what if for us, Bruce?
Okay, so my what if is could the Eagles have won the Super Bowl without hiring Chip Kelly's idiot ass?
Oh, kind of like the steps that led them to the Super Bowl. Yeah,
probably not.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you got to
walk through. He traded away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he traded away half the people. Yeah, he got.
Of course.
He scrapped the team and they. Yeah. So that's.
Oh, you're talking about that team. Oh, I got you. So you're. And Bruce, good phone call. Kind of saying if they never got rid of that core, would they have won with those guys? The Lashady, Deshaun. He did. I mean, he did gut that team. That team had some talent, and he gutted it. And look, it took them a few years to get back on track. That's a good one. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone call's coming up. Another Merrill moment as well. Plus, a few pieces of news from the NFC this weekend that could affect the Eagles. One, right off the jump of the season. We'll hit that next, your phone calls, and today's Merrill moment in the countdown. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. When it comes to new windows and doors, the product matters. But installation, that makes the difference. With Pella Windows and Doors, every installation is handled by Pella expert installers with precise measurements and expert craftsmanship that helps protect your home from drafts, leaks, and the elements for better energy efficiency. Right now, enjoy $250 off windows and $700 off doors or 36 months, 0% APR. Call 877-98-PELLA to schedule your free in-home consultation or at PellaPhilly.com.